The name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Hello and welcome to World News, coming to you live from Tehran. I'm Sahar Aksu. Before we begin, we'd like to offer our congratulations on the birth anniversary of Imam Hussein, the third Imam, and the grandson of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Well, this week's substitute Friday prayers leader of Tehran urged the P5+1 group to correct its wrong approach toward Iran in the upcoming talks. Addressing thousands of worshippers at Tehran University, Hujjatul Islam Ahmad Khatami warned the P5+1 group that adopting the Zionist regime's positions in the talks with Iran will sabotage the negotiating process. Khatami said issues put forward by the P5+1 group in the Moscow talks were the same as the positions taken earlier by the prime minister of the Zionist occupying regime. The clerics said this approach means the influence of the Tel Aviv regime on the P5+1 decision-making process. He further pointed out that the P5+1 group seems to follow the dual-track policy of talks and threats, while they should know by now that the Iranian nation will not give in to threats. Hujjatul Islam Khatami said it is a sign of Western hypocrisy that the Zionist regime is not even criticized for possessing some 400 nuclear warheads. He slammed those who claim to be advocates of nuclear disarmament for not pressuring the Zionist regime to disarm. The cleric then warned the international community that the Zionist regime is a great danger to global peace and also security. The Iranian president has criticized the current world order as discriminatory and inefficient. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made the remark in a news conference on the sidelines of the Rio+20 Earth Summit in Brazil. The Iranian president called for a new world order based on compassion and justice. Ahmadinejad said the main objective behind the current wrong system is that a small minority wants to dominate other nations by creating division, rivalry and hatred among them. Stressing that the hegemonic powers are now humiliating other nations, Ahmadinejad described growing poverty and insecurity as well as persisting economic and social woes as instances of inefficiency of the current domineering world order. The Iranian president also reiterated his criticism of the Western powers for supporting illegitimate governments in the Middle East region. Ahmadinejad reminded that the West is equipping regional despotic regimes which don't have the support of their nations. Elsewhere, the president said the Western stance over Iran's nuclear energy program is only a pretext to impede the Iranian nation's progress. He noted that the West is opposing Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program, while the Zionist regime explicitly says it has nuclear bombs and uses them to threaten other regional nations. The Iranian president noted that Iran has repeatedly announced it does not seek to build nuclear bombs, and there has been no proven diversion in his country's nuclear energy program. President Ahmadinejad went on to say that the path of imposing sanctions against the Iranian nation is wrong and counterproductive.
If nuclear bombs are so bad, why there are thousands of nuclear bombs in the United States? It seems that they don't think nuclear bombs are so bad.
Elsewhere, President Ahmadinejad also condemned foreign countries that are arming the rebels in Syria. He reiterated that Western intervention is at the core of unrest in Syria.
The intervention of others in Syria and sending weapons to this country would certainly not help resolve the problem. And I think, since they think in a materialistic way, they believe that by cutting economic ties, for example, they can achieve their objectives in Syria.
And now a couple of brief news items. The UN Arab League envoy Kofi Annan says Iran should be part of the solution to the Syrian crisis, urging Tehran's participation in the upcoming international conference in Syria. Speaking in the Swiss capital of Geneva on Friday, Annan said Iran should be part of the solution for Syria. The remarks come a day after Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov emphasized the importance of Iran's presence in the Syria Contact Group meeting, which is due to be held in Geneva on June 30th. The Eurozone's four big powers at odds on crisis management measures. The leaders of Germany, France, Italy and Spain agreed on Friday on a 130 billion euro package to try to revive economic growth in Europe, but deferred over where, whether and how to launch joint bonds to combat the Eurozone's financial debt crisis. Moving on, a 24-hour strike called by the Italian unions on Friday brought public transport services to a halt in Rome, while demonstrators took to the streets in the Italian capital. Smaller trade unions also called for the 24-hour strike across the country. The strikes come as protests against tough austerity measures set up by the Italian government. And at the time, leaders from Germany, France and Spain were descending on Rome to discuss the Eurozone crisis.
Debito non l'abbiamo prodotto noi, non l'abbiamo prodotto noi lavoratori, non l'hanno prodotto i pensionati, non l'ha prodotto la classe di questo paese che sta male, che soffre tutte le misure che sono state prese. Il debito l'hanno prodotto i banchieri, l'hanno prodotto gli speculatori, loro dovrebbero pagarlo. Invece contro questi signori non si sta facendo nulla, non c'è nessun provvedimento che vada in quella direzione, anzi continuano a dare soldi alle banche, agli speculatori.
Meanwhile, London bus drivers began a 24-hour strike in a dispute over Olympic bonus payments. The walkout by thousands of drivers meant to demand an extra £500 payment for each worker during the London 2012 Games. At a main bus depot in the East London of end of London, drivers waved flags and blew whistles in the defiance of their employers. Train drivers have already struck deals to get the Olympic bonus payments, ranging from £500 to £900 per worker on the Heathrow Express, Network Rail, and London Underground, which is also known as the Tube.
He's going to know how many people will actually turn up during the games and what our loading is and everything, you know, with the traffic, with the passengers and everything that we have to deal with on a daily basis. With the train driver pushing a button, off it goes, platform, we have to deal with everything, you know, on the road. And for that, I reckon we should get paid a little bit of extra money during that time.
I think they've got a point because the mayor's given the tube drivers extra money, so I think the bus drivers deserve it, actually. I think they deserve the bonus.
I do have a bit of sympathy for them because if the tube strike, well, the tube drivers are getting an increase and the bus drivers aren't, then it's a little bit unfair. So in a way, you do have a little bit of sympathy for them, but it's still annoying.
Well, the newly appointed Greek development minister warned on Friday that the Greek economy is still on the edge of a cliff. The minister says the government needs to win back the trust of the investors who have deserted the country. The new government was formed on Thursday after 3 days of talks between the main political parties in the country.
We are still on the edge of a cliff. I don't want to sound like a populist or to aggravate this situation. And that is why we are determined to put our best foot forward and to work with a plan that has goals and deadlines.
This is a critical time for Greece. A government supported by three parties is in place, and I believe that trust in the Greece's economy and in the euro can be regained.
In Egypt, the ruling military council has threatened to use all-out force against protesters who have gathered in Cairo's Liberation Square to condemn the army's grip on power. The Supreme Council of Armed Forces warned on Friday that the army would deal firmly with what it called attempts to harm public interests. The warning came after tens of thousands of Egyptians gathered in Cairo's Tahrir Square in a show of support for the Muslim Brotherhood's presidential candidate, Mohamed Morsi.
The National Democratic Party of Mubarak has been used for lying and cheating for a long time. We are used to that. It happened in 2005 and in 2010. They had lost the elections, but they said they won. I want to say to Ahmed Shafiq, enough of your arrogance and ego.
Now, at least one Palestinian was killed and two others injured in a Zionist regime airstrike on the besieged Gaza Strip. The airstrike hit Al Buraiji refugee camp in central Gaza. The latest casualty brought to 9 the number of Palestinians killed in Gaza by the Zionist regime air attacks since Monday. 14-year-old boy was also killed in Tel Aviv drone attack in the Gaza city's Zeitoun neighborhood on Wednesday. The Zionist regime's warplanes frequently bombard the Gaza Strip, claiming the actions are being conducted for defensive purposes. However, civilians are often killed or injured in these attacks, which are in violation of international law. At least 14 people were killed and more than 100 wounded in two terrorist bombings at a busy market in Baghdad on Friday. The explosions, timed within minutes of each other, came at a mid-morning in an open-air market in northeastern Baghdad. Two other terror attacks on Friday killed four Iraqis. In the city of Samarra, 100 kilometers north of Baghdad, a bomb exploded in a car parked near the entrance of the Al-Askari Shrine, killing one Shia pilgrim and injuring 13 others. Separately, gunmen opened fire on a police checkpoint in western Baghdad, killing three officers. And in the north, a roadside bomb exploded near a police checkpoint in Mosul, wounding three civilians, while a former Iraqi army officer was shot dead in his home south of Mosul. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. More than 150 Iraqis have been killed this month in terrorist bombings and shootings that have mostly targeted civilians. The monthly death toll is the second highest so far in 2012 and rivaled only by January, when 198 Iraqis were killed in a series of blasts. Well, Raja Pervez Ashraf has been elected as Pakistan's new prime minister to replace Yusuf Raza Gilani. Pakistan's National Assembly on Friday elected Ashraf, a former information and technology minister, with 211 yes votes in the 342-member legislative body. The main ruling Pakistan People's Party dominates the assembly. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court ruled that Gilani was ineligible to hold office as prime minister or a lawmaker because he had disdained previous court orders to reopen corruption charges against President Zardari.
In consultation with the allied parties, the name given to me by the leadership is Mr. Raja Pervez Ashraf for the new prime minister.
Now, at least 19 people have been killed and a number of others taken hostage in a Taliban attack on a hotel in the Afghan capital of Kabul. The militants were armed with RPGs and heavy machine guns when they attacked the hotel popular with foreign nationals. It took the government 12 hours to declare that the brazen assault on the hotel was over, with all the militants killed, after security forces earlier freed a number of hostages. In a text message, Taliban spokesman Sabihullah Mujahid confirmed the militants had stormed the hotel used for by the foreigners with un-Islamic activities. Now, the assault comes 2 days after 21 people were killed in a bomb blast on a joint Afghan-NATO convoy in eastern Afghanistan, city of Khost.
The operation just ended. Four terrorists that attacked this place. All of them were killed. We don't know exactly if they are four or five. But our investigation team is inside the building. They are investigating. And unfortunately, there are some civilian casualties as well. We need to wait for that. But these terrorists are gone and they are killed now.
I had two guests and was waiting for food. I went to see the receptionist to ask about our order. The insurgents entered and opened fire on the main gate and parking lot. It took about 10 seconds for them to get into the hotel and in the hall of the hotel.
In other developments, an attack has killed another U.S.-led foreign trooper in southern Afghanistan. NATO confirmed the incident on Friday but did not disclose the nationality of the trooper. The latest death brings to more than 3,050 the number of U.S.-led troopers killed in Afghanistan since the beginning of the U.S.-led war in 2001. More than a decade into the invasion of Afghanistan by the U.S. and its allies under the pretext of fighting terrorism, and rampant violence continues to plague the war-shattered country. Now, the CEO of the National Iranian Copper Industries Company has announced the new copper reserves have been discovered in the country. Ardashir Sa-